Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 445. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Where's Jeff?
He is basking in the defeat of Sekiro. He's been beaten by that game.
A samurai sword has been standing above his corpse right now laughing.
Pretty much. Either that or he's sick. I'm not sure which one. But Earl is here too.
And I'm here with the state of the play.
We will be talking about Sony's state of play at some point. I guess the newest game on the docket, Earl, you played a new Power Rangers game.
Yes. I played Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. I think I mentioned this last week that they had just done the trailer and said that, it was going to come out this spring. And after recorded, it was announced like that Saturday that the game was coming out this week. It's not been the smoothest launch in the world. I don't know much of that you've been following, but
can you low block yet, Earl? Is that possible?
I don't know. I've not played online yet because of that. I will say this much. If you go to their Twitter, almost half of it is them apologizing for stuff. Always a great launch. I guess they launched and a lot of the people who pre-ordered on the website didn't get their codes, or the codes they got didn't work. And that was a shit show. So like, some people got codes. They ordered the special edition and those codes didn't work on Xbox or Switch. So they were granted like normal edition codes, and then they'll get like the working codes tomorrow. Fingers crossed. There's the incident of like, you can't block Yo online like at all. So that makes no sense whatsoever. I don't know. I don't get how that's a bug, but that's what's happening. There's also, and I guess this will parlay into my actual impression, it's also a lack of content. It's a Power Rangers fighting game. It's 3v3, which, you know, like Marvel versus Capcom, which is cool. Yes. In theory. And I mean, the game plays well and it's a nice thing, but it's a 3v3 fighting game with 9 characters total. So you kind of...
Everybody's in every game.
Pretty much.
Wow, yeah. Wow, how bad do you like feel for like the 3 that don't make it into the other? It's like, yeah, you guys really stink.
Man, Pink Ranger. Ugh, never shows up.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I get it. It's okay. It's a budget game. It's $20. That's fair. You know, I expect there will be certain shortcuts, but I do think 9 characters is way more than a shortcut. Again, when you're 3, I would pick 9 characters if it was 1v1.
Yeah, like that. That seems like a lineup for, you know, like a 1v1 PlayStation era fighting game. Like, I would probably be okay with that for $20.
Yeah, but as a 3v3, it's really weird because, like you said, you end up picking more than half the roster. I've not had a ton of time with it, but I did, you know, just to kind of get a feel for it, I did play through an arcade mode for one of the characters, and it's 7 rounds with 9 characters. You see a lot of the same people very often. essentially, pretty much every round, every other round would have the same characters. Yeah. And then you get and then there's like, it's a story mode. I assume I played through 6 rounds. There was no story. Then at the end of the 6th round, like a cutscene came up, triggered another battle, and at the end of the 7th, you kind of get the final boss, which is, I don't know if you read Power Rangers comic, it's Draken, who's like an evil Tommy, essentially. And yeah, and then you beat that, and credits roll. Like, there's no real fanfare or no unlocks afterwards, as far as I could tell. But aside from that, I'm a huge Power Rangers fan. I grew up on Power Rangers, And again, $20, I go with some of it, but there is a part where, like, part of the reason I got this game, and I assume part of the reason most people are interested in this game, is because it's Power Rangers, and this game does so good with that license. Like, the battle music isn't like music ripped from the TV show. Like, there's no, like, none of the characters speak. Like, you would think, I'm not even talking about like full exchanges of dialogue, but part of the fun of Power Rangers is all the goofy over the top screams they do when they get hit. And they didn't pull any of that into the game. Like, there's a lot of stuff that could have been done to improve the presentation for a Power Rangers fan. Like, right now, it is super bare bones. It's $20. There's nine characters. I will say it's fun to play, but I don't think that's enough.
No.
Yeah, I'm putting this in the no column. This is a no.
Yeah, and
Especially with
again,
so many, like this seems like it's gonna, I'm not a fighting game fan, but this seems like it's gonna be a good year for fighting games.
yeah, I was
Like,
about to say, because by the time you turn around, Mortal Kombat's out in a month.
yeah. Well, I'm glad you tried it out.
Yeah, and I mean, I won't say too, but I did not pay for it, so that's always a plus.
That is, yes.
But I mean, I will stick around with it. I will play around with it a bit more because, again, like, the core fighting's fine, and because I didn't spend any money on it, so I don't feel ripped off. But I do think that they could have done a lot more, and like, maybe we'll revisit it in a year, and they've kind of out of season passes, and you have a full roster of Power Rangers. But for right now, yeah, it's pretty bare bones.
Well, we will maybe revisit that as time goes on.
Or
Tony,
not.
yeah, maybe not. Tony, you've been playing Hellblade.
I played Hellblade for a little while and then I stopped. So
Okay.
we talked about this last week where it was on the list of quest games for Game Pass this month.
Yes.
So I hopped into Hellblade to get my two achievements. And I did not particularly enjoy it.
Okay.
Interesting.
So there's, I guess I feel like there's not a whole lot of gameplay there. Like, there's a lot of walking around and listening to voices, I guess. It's a little disconcerting, like, to hear like the voice is always talking to her all the time.
Yeah, and I ended up having to not play with headphones, even though that's
Yeah,
how they
it's just it's more annoying than it is like I don't know what they're trying to like convey what it's like to be psychotic and hear voices and all that, but that's great, but it's just annoying. And I don't play games to be annoyed. And then there's just not a whole lot to do in the game. Like, the battle system is very, well, you called it deliberate, I believe is the word you used. I
Yes.
just there's not much to it.
Well, no, it's like you like it's slow, but it's also you
It's very
parry
slow, parry,
and
dodge, or attack, and that's all that there is. And since it is so slow, it's not like engrossing. Also, it's very clear when you're in a battle and when you're not. So, like, you're never surprised. Like, they never like jump out and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this
No.
is happening. And
No, like the screen fades, like the way the game is set up, it's very like segmented. Like you have entered an arena, you will be attacked, there will be a set number of people, and when you finish, she will put her sword away.
yep, and which I mean, that's not all that interesting. And then, which leaves the lion's share of the actual quote unquote gameplay to be puzzle solving, like environmental puzzle solving, which is fine, I guess. It's just I feel like the amount of joy I get out of that versus the time I just spend like walking around and hearing voice, it's not worth it.
That's fair. I finished it actually, the other day. I ended up really liking it. Which I mean, I could see everything you're saying and be like, yes, I can definitely see somebody taking that away from it. I ended up enjoying like the puzzles do get more complicated. You are doing more of them. Like early on, it's a lot of like spacing out as she's explaining, like, or her voices are explaining, or the narrator is explaining, kind of like the setup for everything. But once you open up the two doors and fight the first two bosses, then the puzzles start getting like much more complicated, involving larger areas and shifting in and out of different realities that she sees. And there's like some cool stuff with like light and darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But these are all like in the back half of the game. So shame you didn't like it. I ended up enjoying it. So
yeah. Question for you, and this is major spoilers, but I will try to keep it as short as possible. I've heard mixed things about the very end of the game, like the final encounter. Did you run into any issues with that?
In terms of how I perceived it, or just...
Well, from what I understand is, I guess it's a horde of enemies that ultimately you can't defeat.
Exactly, yeah. So at first I was like, what the fuck? But like the game just kept going after that. Like you get the ending. So basically she's just fighting off all these enemies. And at that point, it actually becomes very fast paced. You can freeze time and make the enemies slower, and you can take on a whole lot. Like they're throwing like five or six of them at you at a time. So early on, Tony, what you were probably experiencing is like one-on-one, maybe two-on-one combat.
Right.
Yeah. Like towards the end, you are fighting like three, four or five people at a time. So it becomes more complicated. It's still simplistic in that you're parrying, you're dodging, but there's also this time mechanic to it as well. But yeah, you are in this final arena trying to get at Hela, and there's dumping enemies on you. I'm like, when is it going to end? Like, when can I finally? And like, I just ended up getting like knocked down and hit a couple times, and it faded to a cutscene where I thought she was dead. But it turns out that it's all in her head. Like
a
lot of what is happening is her psychosis. So.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a little representation of fighting her demons, but I just know some people did it, because I guess people don't like the idea that you can't beat the game in a traditional sense.
Right, like I suppose that you could get to that portion and just stand there, and they could kill you, and it would still trigger that cutscene, but it was a little, like, it's a little jarring. You know, when you're fighting and traditional game style indicates that you will fight off these creatures and get a chance to fight that final boss, but she actually does not get to fight that final boss.
And that's the way life goes sometimes.
Yeah. I actually looked just to see, like, if I got the bad ending. There's only one ending to the game, though. So.
Oh, no.
Like,
you got it. You got the bad ending.
Yeah.
Or the good ending. I mean, it's all how you perceive it.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, she had completed her quest, and she moves on with her life. I assume with all the voices still intact, because you don't just shed them. But there's the Xbox version also has a there's like a making of kind of featurette,
mm-hmm.
Which was interesting, because they talk with like psychologists and psychiatrists and some people that actually suffer from psychoses, and how they depicted it on screen and. With the vision and the voices, and it was interesting to hear like them kind of like, yes, this is very accurate to how I experience things at times. It's like, that is terrifying.
Right. I feel bad for you.
Yes. But it was very it was interesting, and the puzzles get more than just like find a symbol in the environment too. So, But so that's Hellblade. You played more Stellaris.
Yeah, I'm playing it right now, in fact.
You need to be focusing on this show.
I am focused on the show that is Stellaris. What show am I supposed to be focused on?
Talking one, Tony.
Oh, damn. But this is Jeff's favorite game, right? I need to play it
Yes.
for him.
And actually, I saw you say something interesting on Twitter this week, but you think maybe you might like it more than the PC version.
I find it much more engrossing to play. I don't know. It's just relaxing to sit in my chair and play on my big TV as opposed to my tiny PC monitor. And like the controls are great. Like they work on a controller really well. I don't feel like I'm like hunting and pecking like you feel with a lot of strategy games on a con on a con with a controller. So it just works really naturally, and it's just kind of sublime. And the music is, soothing. It's just a nice kind of thing to sit around and play. It's kind of the same feeling I get from playing like Madden, like a sports game.
Okay. Like it just said
Like kind of
something
like end of the
harder.
day, dull, turn your brain off and play.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm really enjoying the console version a lot.
I guess that's it for games. I was hoping to have Tetris 99, but my Switch is still updating all of my titles because I haven't had it on in a while. But there was some news this week, quite a bit actually. I guess we'll kick off with what happened today. So
We don't
Gearbox,
have to.
you're right, we don't have to, but it's what's mostly in my head, because I was could not have come out of that being less excited.
Okay, so like I was discussing this with Chris before we started, is that I had a work event offsite, so that's a halfway through it. So I'm like, oh, let me turn in. I guess I'll get some early announcements. They spent the first 10, 15 minutes. One, you can't keep on saying we're gonna end big, we're gonna end big. You gotta start big too.
Yes.
And I honestly, and I could be wrong, I don't ever remember somebody debuting a game by going over production art in such fashion where it's like, oh, you can see this character here, and if you're close, you can get a shift code, and this person has this written on their collar. And I'm like, what in the white hell is going on here? And then, so I left halfway through. So I had friends text me because I'm a Borderlands fan, so I wanted to know. And I started hearing about a magic trick that
Yes.
goes down for like 10 minutes, and then they couldn't get any of the trolls to work. And after all of that, their grand reveal is like the troll itself doesn't work.
Great. I'm really sad that I missed this. This sounds like quite the show.
I honestly want to go back and watch it because this sounds like Konami 2010 all over again, where at Kiryu they did not have anything to show for an hour, but they wanted to make that hour count.
Right.
So they stretched it out. And they stretched it out. But I guess since I didn't see the full show, we should talk about what was announced. And if you like Borderlands,
There's a lot of Borderlands announced.
you'll get to play Borderlands again and again and again, and maybe a new version at some point in time in the future.
Yeah, what they announced the Borderlands Ultra HD re-release.
Yeah, I thought that was an odd decision. Because Borderlands is known for a lot of stuff. Its graphics is not one of them. And I like the graphical style, but it's not a pretty game.
No.
If anything, I would take Borderlands Ultra frame rate, where it runs at more than 30 frames per second and doesn't slow down when a bunch of stuff fills up on screen.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be
That'd be
the
awesome. I would accept that.
dream. Also, like, I mean, I have the Handsome Jack, the Handsome Collection, because most of the time you can get it for like $5, $10 on sale, and like it's nice, but I really don't see many people rushing back to Borderlands to play it in 4K. I honestly, and you know, maybe I'm biased in this regard, I think I feel like that's a waste of resources. I thought it would have been better suited to make a Switch port than like. Because, yeah, I mean, like these games are out on the 360 and the PS3. They're out on the PS4 and the Xbox One. Like, what new audience are you trying to get with the HD 4K, whatever version?
Yeah, 'cause like I can play the entire series on my Xbox One. Like, Borderlands 1 is the 360 version, but
Well,
art style wise, it's fine.
they announced Borderlands 1, the Game of the Year edition remastered for the Xbox One out next week as well. So if you wanted to play one on your Xbox One, you can do that now too.
I am confused by this announcement. Like, I don't see any reason for me to go out and spend money on these games again.
No, I don't get any of the announcements. Like they announced what Borderlands 2 VR DL, all the DLCs coming. And I mean maybe the sales are much better than I anticipated, but I don't see Borderlands 2 VR being such a big enough deal that essentially speaking, if you can boil down most of your announcements to a press release and nothing changes, you don't need a press conference.
This is true.
Because we just said that, and there's no need for a video or anything of Borderlands 2 VR or Borderlands 1 Game of the Year Edition or Borderlands 2 Borderlands Handsome 4K Ultra High Def Megazord version.
Don't know. I kind of want that version.
Well, you have a chance to buy it, Tony. Don't you worry.
And speaking of porting a game that's already been ported, we also got word that Bulletstorm, what, Duke to the Switch or Duke of Switch is coming to the Switch, if the name didn't give that away, which I think is the, it's Bulletstorm, but it's the Bulletstorm, whatever the PlayStation 4 version was called.
Yeah, it's the one that has Duke Nukem in it. It was the remaster that they did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's one of those games where it's like I think it's fine, but like I think People Can Fly, I think that's their names, need to work on a new project.
Yeah, because I think Bulletstorm is what, about 10 years old at this point?
Something like that.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing new? Like, you're not doing anything new in this Bulletstorm world. Like, or if you are, like, put it out. Like, I will play more Bulletstorm. That game was fun, but I don't want to continue to play the same game over and over again.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious if they're assuming that Duke Nukem is now kind of the lead of the franchise, or if they just have like the Duke Nukem license and just want to put him out there.
Yeah, that I don't know. Like, who? I understand that Duke fits in with that Bulletstorm attitude, but I don't know what. Like, I did not play that version, so I'm not really sure how he fits in. But the whole thing seems really weird.
Yeah. But I guess the big announcement was Borderlands 3 through an hour of torture, a teaser, and literally everybody and their mother knowing this game existed for like the past 2 years. Which
Wait,
mind
Borderlands 3 was announced?
you and
Yeah.
my first impressions was it's Borderlands.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it looked like, yeah. Just like Borderlands.
If you honestly tell me this was DLC for Borderlands, I'd believe you.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine, but nothing like stood out to me that this was new and exciting. Like, it's been a while since we've had a Borderlands game.
Yeah, I think somebody said, I think it was Polygon. It's been, what, 7 years since the pre-sequel?
Okay.
And yeah, like in that time, you kind of like, if you're going to take that on to do a sequel, you kind of want them to come out with something big, showy, and new, and not something that really looks like more. And again, I will buy this game. I will probably enjoy this game. But like, as far as the debut trailer goes, like, there was nothing in there that really screamed, like, we had to make a new game for this.
Yeah, I especially in a genre that is now kind of full.
Well,
Right?
I don't know if it's, I still think it's very different than a lot of the games out there, in terms of like what it does. Like, I know there's a lot of co-op RPG type game. I'm fan of Division, Anthem just came out, but I still don't think they
Yeah.
feel the same. But I get your point. But yeah, it's like one of those games that is, it's also because of it's so driven by its quote unquote humor, like that's also something that can age really quickly.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that Borderlands 2 holds up on the humor scale.
No, I thought everything sounded the same as the previous game. Like, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, it's like some of that stuff is cute, but like stuff like Claptrap, yeah, they need to move on, I guess. But yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's for a game that's 7 years in the making, that's their big title. I would say for this year, but we actually don't know. There was no release date or release window.
I put
Just,
it down for this year. It's got to be this year.
well, I assume it is partially because they are doing another thing next Wednesday, and Randy already confirmed that we'll get more details and release date. So I'm assuming it's much sooner than we anticipated. But if that's the case, why not announce that now? Because it's not like E3 where you're competing with everybody else. This was your show. There's like nothing else going on today.
Yeah, it's March, like, and it's at the front end of PAX East. Like, you could dominate here and get all your news out.
Yeah. Instead, they dominated, just not in the way most people want.
No, that magic trick. I did hear quite a lot of jokes about that though on Twitter. You can also buy that magic trick now on Gearbox's website, so.
Fantastic. Exactly what I always wanted. Goddamn magic trick.
The only magic trick that counts is the Joker's.
Well, Apple would like to magically remove money from your wallet with the Apple Arcade.
I will say that I actually think this is a not an exciting announcement, but at least I get this one a bit more than I got Stadia. I mean, yeah, like everybody else is doing subscription services, pay a fat fee, but get a bunch of games on your phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically Game Pass for the iPhone, right? Like,
Yeah. And I would say it's slightly better than that because I imagine like you and I don't really pay money for mobile games. I pay them, but I pay them almost all the free-to-play ones, and I will sit through an ad for 15 seconds. At least this
most of
way
the
you get in,
time, yes.
some type of money.
Yeah. Did they announce what games would be with the service, or?
I don't remember if they announced what games specifically. I know they said something like over 100 games.
Okay.
I think the and this is a, I guess what is it? Beyond a Still Sky, which is a sequel to Behind a Still Sky, is one of the games that they announced is coming to that service.
Okay.
So, some decent titles, but yeah, it's did they give a price?
I don't know. Everything I've heard seems to point at $10 a month.
Which again isn't so. I mean, I guess that's always the rub. It's like most subscription services are actually very well priced. It's when you keep on adding on top of them that it becomes an issue.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I have $10 for this. I have $10 for Spotify. I have $10 for Netflix. $10 for Hulu. Like, it's getting to, I think you said on Twitter earlier this week, like, how many of these services can we support? Like, at some point, we're not going to be able to keep getting all these new streaming services and game services, and we're gonna have to start making hard cuts.
Yeah, like I, it's funny because I didn't even think about it until like Apple Arcade. It's like, oh, I don't really pay for any games. Oh, I pay for Xbox Live, I pay for PlayStation Network, I pay for Nintendo Switch Online. Like, yeah, okay, that does add up. That's, I mean,
That's
granted, I get it on discount, but that's still almost $100 a year
Yep.
just to play online with friends. Then you start adding in stuff like, you know, Game Pass or EA Origin. EA, what is it? Access or yeah,
Access, yeah.
Access. Apple Arcade, Stadia, and you know, and then you do it with the movies, and it's like, yeah, you're gonna start paying like $200, $300 in subscription services.
Yeah. It's getting up there. I think that I think for me Disney Plus might be the last one, and then I am tapped out.
Actually, I don't know if I'm gonna get Disney Plus, but we'll see. I'm sure I'll just April for somebody else's account.
I need like 11 or 12 more subscription services. I need more.
Yeah, you need
You'll
more.
be happy to know that there's gonna be like having a more an launch next month.
Just
from,
next month.
I mean, because Apple announced with three of them at their press conference,
Yeah, they announced
the newspaper
Arcade.
one,
Yep.
Arcade, and then Apple TV
TV
Plus.
Plus, yeah. Yeah, I looked at News Plus. I will say I looked at News Plus today because I was like, I wanted to see what was included in it. And if the Washington Post had been included with it, I think I might have done it, but it was not, so.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Yeah,
So
it's crazy. I do wonder how we're paying developers on these game streaming services.
yeah, because I was it? No, it was Walmart is the wait. One of them's looking at a model to pay, kind of like Spotify, which is based off of the amount of time somebody engages with content,
Right.
which is a bad metric for many reasons.
Well,
Well,
yeah.
it's actually a good metric, but based on how people usually pay them, it's the terrible metric.
Right, and so like let's say you put something like Assassin's Creed Odyssey on there, right? Like it's a 80 to 150 hour game, and then something like I don't know, something that's like 2 hours long, like a Gone Home. Like you
Yeah.
put something like Gone Home, like well, like if you play through Gone Home, you're gonna play it once, you're done with it.
Yeah, like, are people going to start padding out games? Are we
Yeah.
going to see more stuff like you know, Splatfest or you know, like these weekend events to get people engaged with the game? I mean, some of that's good. Some of it is like, yeah, it's not a good business model as a for a company.
No, like it's a great business model for the company running the service.
Yeah.
I don't know how it operates for the creators. And even with Spotify, like you hear the horror stories of like, the artists are getting like pennies for their music being played, so.
Yeah, and I will again. I from experience, I used to dabble in ROMs and emulators. Is that the thing about not really paying per content is you find so much of it disposable.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned Power Rangers. I'm paying that. I got it for free. I will continue paying that. But like, I can also just not. I don't feel like I lost anything because I haven't. And I feel that way, you know, with I feel like people do that with games where it's like, oh, I played this for 5 minutes, it didn't grab my attention, I'm gonna move on to the next thing. Where if you buy a game, at least you try to see like, okay, I've been playing it for an hour or two, it's not for me. But at least you gave it a honest shot instead of like, oh, this takes too long. I'm moving on.
Right. Like, if, let's say, last week, Tony and I, we both played that game after charge. If
Right.
we had paid for that game, I think we probably would have put more than like two matches apiece into it.
This is true. I probably would have, tried to get more out of it.
But instead, it was like, ah, well, we didn't really pay for it, so
Yeah, move on.
delete.
And you wouldn't have engaged with it if not for the fact that it was a part of another challenge.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Would not have played it at all.
Right. It
Even
would have come up.
having access to it for free.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like because you have access, it's like you can pick and choose what you want, and then some stuff that you might be interested in, you just pass up on.
Right.
Yep.
This is true.
All right. Let's see. There were some game announcements.
Well, before we
Do
get,
more on Apple.
I was gonna say before we got on to game announcements, did we want to touch on Sony's Days of Play?
Sure.
So that was Sony's Nintendo Direct competitor, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be fair; they did not have any shame in pretty much ripping off the format. Which is fine. I think it's a great format. It's very speedy and, informative. It's a good format. I will give them that. I don't think the content was there for that format this time around. And, like not every Nintendo Direct is a winner. I've sat through some where I'm just like, this isn't for me, and that's fine.
Yeah, but you would think like your first one.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can't come out the gate and be like, oh, it wasn't bad. Like, that's not an impression you want to set.
Not at all.
Like, I think of, what is it? Is it Xbox Minute or what, the Major Nelson thing? Inside Xbox?
Inside
Yes,
Xbox,
Inside
yeah.
Xbox, yeah. Their weekly show.
And I think of something like that where, like, it's a show that happens all the time, but there's really nothing around it. Like, people don't get anticipated or anything. Least in my circles, I don't know people who are like, oh my gosh, a new Inside Xbox episode. Where, like, and Nintendo Direct's on the other end of that extreme, where I think some people are way too into when's the next Nintendo Direct's going to happen.
Right.
But I'd rather, if you're a company, I'd rather be closer to the Nintendo end of the spectrum than the Inside Xbox end of the spectrum. And right now, I think Sony's closer to that Inside Xbox one because it's like, if they announce the next state of play, like, I'm not, unless they tell me, like, this is going to have, like, world exclusive, I'm not really going to be like, I can't wait for this to happen again.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Nintendo does a good job because their directs are scarce. Like they're not on a set schedule. Like Inside Xbox, I hardly ever watch because I mean, there's not much reason to.
Yeah.
And I know Sony is trying to do the Nintendo thing, but you need the announcements along with it as well, otherwise. What's the point?
You need the announcements or you need the personalities. Because a lot of the times, Nintendo got away with a lot of stuff Nintendo gets away with because you like the people presenting it. And that goes a long way sometimes, where like Sony was just kind of a generic voiceover. There was no body in between. There was no, like, for lack of a better term, there was no fun in the presentation.
Yeah, that is something that Nintendo does a good job of producing those videos and making them fun to watch.
Yes, and they're never really above poking fun at themselves, which I think Sony's always had an issue with.
Sony doesn't like to poke fun at themselves. They like to poke fun at other people, at their
Yeah,
companies, but not themselves.
not themselves. And it's ironic because I know people, I've seen people say this, and it is true, but there's a time and place for everything, is that this should not have been VR focused.
No. Not at all. Like I mean, they came out. They gave the numbers that what a little over 4 million units have been sold.
Yeah.
That's an attach rate of less than 5%. You're talking to like a fraction of your user base.
Yeah. And even if you wanted to like give it momentum, there were very few titles in that thing where I'm like, I need VR for. And I think the biggest screw up to me personally was the Iron Man VR game. Not because it looks like a bad game, but based off of all the goodwill momentum you had with the Marvel Spider-Man from Insomniac, this was a terrible follow-up to that partnership in terms of like building on that momentum.
Well, yeah, how do you go from like this big, 30-hour open world kind of game to this experience almost?
Yeah. And it was like, it's like, oh, especially being that we are still kind of in a period where the MCU is in this huge boom, but their side of video games is still very light. Like, we have Spider-Man, we have Marvel's Ultimate Alliance 3 coming out at some point, but that's really it. We haven't heard anything from Square on the Avengers game in 2 years.
Or that Guardians game.
Or that Guardians game. So like yeah, and like this is what you get, and it's like yeah. It also doesn't help that like the entire trailer was like not in-game footage.
Yeah. Well.
True facts.
Yeah. And then their big ending was a Mortal Kombat 11 trailer, which I'm a fan of Mortal Kombat, but that's not your ender for something like this, as far as your first one goes. It's not a trailer for a game that's out next month that's everywhere.
Yeah, that's on every system, so it's not an exclusive in the slightest. I don't know. Like, I mean, you have a game coming out next month. I know that. I believe that they did show a little bit of Days Gone in there, but why wouldn't you focus on like an exclusive for your system?
Yeah, and it's odd, I mean, coming from Sony, and I know I complain about this on the other end of the spectrum. You're not at E3. Why not just throw people a bone and make, here's a huge announcement for something? Like, we've not seen anything from The Last of Us 2 since E3, I think.
Yeah.
Announced Spider-Man DLC, something that people weren't expecting. And that's, I mean, ultimately, that's always kind of been the charm or the big pull of the Nintendo Directs, is you never know what Nintendo is going to play out.
What are they going to announce in this direct that is either shocking and stunning and like something I'm super excited about, or that they're dropping immediately on us as this goes live?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's been over a week. People still talk about Cadence of Hyrule. That's an indie game that had a bigger impact than
Anything
Sony.
in their video. You're right.
And
Sony.
here's the thing. I expect they'll try it again sometime soon. And I know Nintendo Directs aren't on a schedule, but they don't usually say like, we'll be back with more. Like, they promised more but didn't give you any time frame, and I feel like you can't do that. Like, like you say thank you for joining in the first state of play, and that's it. You don't say we'll be back soon, because then it's like, when? You need to kind of give a rough estimate or schedule or something.
Yeah, or at least like, hey, we'll be back before E3, or like, 'cause you're not going to E3, so give us that you're coming back. You'll have some news for us around that time, to get us excited about your platform.
Nah, they don't care about that.
Maybe not. I mean, I guess everybody owns one, so why need to get us excited? Sony.
Yeah.
Kaz Harai, I guess, is officially stepping down from Sony as well.
I was going to put that here, but he's no longer in charge of anything video game related, right?
No, he's. I think thought he was in charge of Sony.
Yeah, proper. So. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fascinating because he's gone, Reggie's going. Crap, who's the other guy who we have from Sony? I guess, yeah.
Harrison?
I thought Harrison was Xbox. Not Sean Layden.
No, Sean Layden's still around. I don't like that guy. Something about him just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, then, you know, you had to take stuff like Peter Moore moving on and doing football. It's just like, yeah, the old guard, the gaming faces from like the 2000s are all pretty much gone. You know, Iwata passed away. You know, it's I mean, I guess, you know, it's time for new blood. It just takes time. It's just really fascinating. Like the E3 wars of the 2000s are kind of gone and put to bed.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting transitional time, but it's also probably the right time to do it. Like new systems are probably going to be coming out in the next year or two. So, it might be the right time to do that. Give us some new stuff to look at, new people to associate with that stuff. I guess before we move into the game releases, you know, talking about hardware here, there were the rumors that there are going to be two new pieces of Switch hardware this year.
Yeah, I am both not surprised and also surprised at doing it. Not that they're doing two different ones. But that it seems like they're going to keep this one, so there's going to be three different SKUs.
So yeah, seems a little weird, right?
Yeah.
You're going to confuse some people out there.
I confuse a lot of people, which is, it's a double-edged sword. Because I was like, Nintendo doesn't usually do that, which is true for their home consoles. And then you look at their handhelds. And you've ever tried to explain to somebody the Nintendo 3DS family when not all of them are 3D? Some of them fold, some of them don't fold, some of them are one screen, some of them are 3D, some of them are not 3D.
Yeah. This sounds similar to that too, like where one of these is going to be a handheld only, kind of more kid-friendly version.
Oh boy.
Which I think is I think it's great. I think, you know, maybe something where like the controllers are permanently on the thing, maybe a smaller screen, or maybe something that's made of a, you know, something closer to the 3DS and built, so kids can drop it. And not that kids drop stuff on purpose, but let's be honest, kids don't. Yes, and I assume if you're a parent, you're more keen to buy your kid a Switch for like $200 that you can replace. Not that $200 is easy, but it's easy. It's an easier pro to swallow than $300.
Yes. I mean, obviously, $200 is cheaper than $300.
I'm just saying.
But I mean, like, if my kid were to break something that was $200, all right, well, at least it wasn't three. Because that's where it's like, no, you're not getting another one.
Yeah, it, you know, it's that mental image. It's like a lot of companies try to stay under $299.99. There's a reason people do that, and I think it's the same thing for parents. It's like, why? Like, remember when the 3DS launched and it was what, $249.99, and they dropped that to $180 within 6 months? Because there's just something meant to for a lot of people that over $200 for a kid seems excessive.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that even that price point will be.
Oh no, I mean, ideally if they could get it down to $100, I mean, but that won't happen.
No, I mean, maybe $150. If they could get it there.
What I am curious about is the other version, which is essentially the Switch Pro.
Mm-hmm.
For several reasons. One, I want to know what form it takes. Like, is it the system itself, or is it going to be like a upgraded dock?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Is it like what form does it take in general? Like, does it have bigger controllers? Because I know that's a complaint a lot of people have, is like they find the Joy-Cons that comfortable. Do you make a bigger screen?
Don't know. I think if you make a bigger screen like that, then it becomes maybe this is just me, but I find playing the Switch in handheld mode for an extended period of time is like not super comfortable. I think if you make it bigger, it makes it heavier, and that's going to be even less comfortable. But
Yeah, like I imagine, like there's a lot that goes into that decision, and yeah, like what do you do? And ultimately, I guess the other thing, and I guess like you can do what Sony or Microsoft does, is how much of it do you invest in, like, oh, this game is not optimized for the pro, because for the most part, there's been a few exceptions on the 3DS. Nintendo's not really great in that. Not really in the habit of just like, okay, we're just gonna make sure that other base version runs like crap.
right.
So like, how much is it gonna be optimized for people where you get it and these games are like, I don't like a higher resolution, I guess, because Nintendo's been pretty decent at frame rates. Most of their games run at a consistent steady frame rate, either 30 or 60. So it's not like you're getting that. I don't see this going to 4K.
No, not, I mean, certainly not in handheld mode, but I can't imagine like stuffing the hardware to be able to do 4K visuals. That would put it very expensive, I think.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, what's the price? Is it going to be a case where like there's the $200 version for kids, the $300 base version, and then the $400 version for expert, core gamers?
The pro gamer, the Nintendo Pro.
Yeah, and it's going to be something really dumb because this is Nintendo, so it's going to be something like the Switch X 2. It's probably gonna make the Switch Deluxe because they seem to really up the Deluxe nowadays.
I mean, I would be all right with them calling it Switch DX.
That's not a bad name. But yeah, it's gonna be something very ridiculous. It's probably gonna be like the Switch XL and the
Yeah.
Switch Mini.
Oh, both of those are bad names. Yeah,
Hence why that's probably what it's gonna be.
you're right. And they have a history of calling things XL, so.
Yes, the new Switch XL Deluxe.
Oh God, my brain just exploded. A million pieces.
Right. Let's talk about some game releases here. But there were some game announcements.
It's like some type of event's been going on. We're sandwiched right now in between C2E2, GDC, and PAX East.
Yeah. So I guess stuff is starting to leak out. One that I caught a little bit of a video on your Twitter feed was the Cyber Shadow game.
Which looks really good.
It looks like Ninja Gaiden. It's great.
Yeah, it's like I said this about Shovel Knight as well. This is published by Yacht's Game. It's not developed by them, but it has the same spirit. Because a lot of people make pixel art games, and they stop there, and it's fine, it's whatever. But a lot of it does seem just kind of half baked. Where like Shovel Knight and this game, it looks like games that would be made on those systems in the current day. Like
Right. Like if you were to be like, I'm gonna make a new Nintendo Entertainment System game, like that's what those games kind of remind me of.
yes, where a lot of them are like, this is what we remember the Nintendo looking like. And it's like, that's cute, but you could also advance the technology You just like what I remember Shovel Knight doing was like Shovel Knight was essentially like where you're gonna use the color code from Nintendo games. I think it's like what it's like an 8-bit palette or something like that, and they added like two additional colors. But they made the game look better than Nintendo games did because we've come a long way in 30 years.
Right, like we figured out how to, make the hardware do what we need to do, even though they're not working on the hardware. But I mean, like, just look at the games that came out at the beginning of when the NES came out, and then at the end, like, there's a companies learn how to, and developers learn how to work within the constraints of the system to make better looking things.
Yeah. And this, like you said, looks like Ninja Gaiden. It looks super fast paced. I have the chain combo jump that looks amazing. And yeah, I can't wait. I think this is out on everything. Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and PC. I don't think they gave a date, but I
Summer,
can't.
I think. Yeah, I don't think there was like a specific date, but I think they did give like a thereabouts thought.
Yes, so I can't wait for that. That was that. I mean, honestly, that's probably my favorite announcement of games this week.
Yeah, I like that. So like watching that video clip, like they pulled back and gave that like cinematic kind of cutscene look that Ninja Gaiden always had, and that was when I was like, yes, I'm on board with this. Like
And that's.
they didn't just capture the kind of feel of it. They're going for like that storytelling angle as well, and it's cool.
Yeah, and I also think that that presentation style is something that we ditched, but it has a charm to it because I think it's very video game-esque. It's like this stop, not stop motion, but it's kind of like comic books come to life. And it's better than when we've actually tried to do comic books in video game.
Yeah. I don't know. I am looking forward to that. I think it's like $15 or something when it comes out. So,
Yeah, it's up for pre-order for $15, and it looks great for that price.
yep. Some other stuff was announced though. Well, I guess Wolfenstein Youngblood had already been announced, but they gave a date and announced the Switch version.
Yes, which is odd that it was not in. Well, I guess they probably saw how Wolfenstein. Which one came to the Switch? Was it? It wasn't the new Colossus, it was the original, right?
Yes. The New Order.
Yeah. But yeah, it arrived July 26th, so I think that's like the first major game of this summer.
Wolfenstein 2 did also come out on Switch.
Oh, I will say this much, Panic Button is getting some work.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah, I mean, I said it before, and I get it, but I think that there are not enough studios that are just kind of focused on these types of like ports. It's good work. Like, yeah, you don't get a reputation for developing your own games, but like, Panic Button's a known quantity now among Nintendo fans because they've done amazing work, and they will continue to do work throughout the course of this generation. And it's a steady event for them.
Yeah. And hey, maybe they can take this and bounce off of that into making something their own as well. So
Yeah, like what is it, the company that used to port the Zelda games for Nintendo ended up making that whatever Oasis. And that was built off of the knowledge of working on four Zelda games for Nintendo. So you never know.
Shantae 5.
This was an odd one. I mean, the Shantae franchise is good, and it's a Chrissy Teigen's a huge fan of the franchise, but it was just kind of like, oh yeah, we're also doing Shantae 5 on Twitter, and it's like, oh, that's a way to announce a game.
I think I've only played part of one of those games, but they're fun little action platformers.
Yeah, I'm always down for the Belly Dancing Pirate.
Yeah.
You could always use more Belly Dancing Pirates.
Yeah.
Sure.
Seems like a safe bet. let's see what else we got here. There's a new Lord of the Rings game coming.
Yes.
Oh God, why? Why is there a new Lord of the Rings coming?
I don't even mind the fact that there's a Lord of the Rings game coming. I'm just baffled that they decided to focus it on Gollum.
I really want a Lord of the Rings epic strategy game. There hasn't been one in like a decade, and there's never been a good one. Do that, please. Need another Gollum game.
Well, have we ever had
a Gollum? Wait, I'm going to say another one.
Not another one, but we just don't need one.
I mean, Gollum was in those
Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow and War. Was he in War?
He was in, yeah. He was in those games.
Yeah. I remember I only played the first one of the Mordor games, and I do remember him being in that, but I don't. Does anybody want to play as Gollum, though?
All the time. I just dream about him. I'm like Gollum.
My precious.
I wish I would be again.
That's the thing. It's like Gollum is, I don't want to say almost overexposed, but I feel like he's the most developed character in the Elder Rings in terms of like, what are you going to add to him? Or what can you add to him in the lore of the franchise that would be appealing in a video game?
God, Gollum, stop exposing yourself.
Well, he is naked, I mean.
All the time. He's got that tiny little loincloth. Cover yourself up, Gollum. Goddamn.
Cover yourself up. But yeah, it's an interesting... I don't know how many want to say interesting. It's an odd choice, I think.
Yeah.
And it's also weird that I think the only thing we got was the name. It's coming in 2021. And I think it's being developed by a studio that I've never heard of before.
Oh, that's always a good thing.
Didactic?
Huh. I don't know that one. Of the Rings Gollum. I'm going to look this one up. That did not help. Google just brought me to the character page. It's like,
I'm all about Serkis. Gollum now. Go for it. Reach for the stars.
Quotations, my precious. Good stuff. All right. Well, who knows?
Gollum knows. He's watching us.
I've heard this name before.
Maybe there are a name of PC gaming, which is always my blind spot. Nothing comes to mind for me.
They make adventure games, like actual, like point and click adventure games. They make the Deponia games, which you probably never played if you don't play point and click adventures. So, it's an interesting choice. To be sure.
Yeah.
Precious.
Yes. My precious.
I wonder if they're gonna have him speak, or is that like, or is he really just gonna like, or is he just gonna speak in his weird goal? Like maybe they said it before, like The Hobbit, where he's a bit more normal.
That could be an interesting take. Like, you know. What was it? Return of the King the one that kind of gave you the
backstory?
The 10-minute backstory on like his descent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It started off with where he killed the dude.
Yeah. That could maybe be an interesting take on it. I don't know.
This is on maybe.
Yes, I'm not saying it is. Like, you know, if you're spitballing, like, how to make this an interesting game, like, maybe starting at that point could be interesting. It seems like it'll be a next-gen game because it's, 2 years out? So Interesting.
So it's again, it's weird. Like, a lot of strange video game announcements this week. Like, I don't get the point of announcing a game to announce a game. Like, unless they assume somebody's gonna leak it, they didn't. They I think there's a logo. There's no, no screenshots, no trailer, no teaser, no production art, nothing. It's just like we're doing this Lord of the Rings game in 2 years.
Yeah, I don't know what the maybe they were just like, we need to show that we're still doing something with the Lord of the Rings.
A lot of times they have to do these games to, or they lose the
Keep the
license.
license, yeah.
Which is fine, but again, I think you have to do them. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to say you're doing them.
Right, you would think that you could just like with this, I assume it would go back to the Tolkien estate if they're not doing something, but just like legally, you would just, hey, yes, we are doing something with the license. It'll be out in 2021. That fulfills our contractual obligation to hold on to the license. We don't need to do much more than that.
But I mean, I guess, well, because wait, it's because as far as I thought, WB had the license,
They do.
and I mean, I assume that that's fine because they're doing the TV show with Amazon, or is Amazon doing their own TV show? Is that I don't, I mean, no.
Warner Brothers owns the license for the Peter Jackson film adaptations.
Yes,
So
but.
this is based on that, I think.
But the Middle Earth stuff is separate. So, like, if you know what, that's a discussion for another day. I'm not going to try to parse out licensing the rights on a
We're going to
podcast.
have some random nerd coming after us, like
This is
asking for our
true.
heads. What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay,
How dare you
so
impugn Golem?
Middle Earth Enterprises. So this is not a Warner Brothers game. This is outside of that. So I don't know. This is weird. It covers the license. This it covers licensing for video games and other paraphernalia directly for the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit novels. This is not part of Warner Brothers because they own the license to the Peter Jackson film adaptations version of the world.
Yeah, like I said, licensing agreements are strange bedfellows.
So, all right. Don't know where this takes place or how it takes place. I'm interested in seeing it where it goes. I can't say I'm excited to play it though.
Nope. But I mean, to be fair, what is there to be excited by? I mean,
Right,
you
just
know,
a picture, like
yeah.
logo with Golem on it.
Love
Yeah.
gold. He's awesome. More gold.
And in the ever exciting world of video game production, EA announced that they have laid off roughly 4% of their workforce, which is about 350 people. And it's been a very, very, very terrible year to work in video games. I think between EA, Activision, and some other companies, we're probably close to something like 1,200 jobs that have been lost in the first 3 months of the year.
Yeah, it's been a brutal final quarter for in the video game industry.
Yeah, and EA did not get any brownie points for the press release they put out. Yeah.
I mean, you generally aren't going to get brownie points when you're cutting jobs, but EA's been on gamer shit list for a bit now. Although there is this weird narrative that Anthem is a giant failure, and that's categorically untrue, but.
I mean, even if Anthem wasn't for you, I don't think it would have been responsible for these layoffs. I think that there's just a lot that, and you know, we said this, at the start of the year, is that EA just does not have a pipeline right now,
Right.
and it sucks. But you have to trim some corners. But what pisses me off about this, and what pissed me off about Activision, is I'm not gonna absolve EA and Activision of these decisions, but it's like gamers who are like, oh, it's just people in marketing, it's just people in, HR, it's non-essential people.
No, they're pretty essential.
And that's the thing, but people, it's like for them, it's like if they're not developing the games, it's like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like they weren't working on games directly. It's like, no, but like,
They're people that keep the company running. Like
yeah.
yes, the artists, and like it's very similar to the company I work for. Like nobody gives a shit about anybody that's not in our sales division because they're the people that bring the money in. Everybody else around them like operates to keep them running. So, and like I don't know, those people are important. You need those people. There's a reason that they are part of a company to start with.
And it's and because there's a lot of things that if you have bad if you have bad HR, it can create a very terrible organization. It can, high turnover, high stress. There's a lot of stuff. But aside from that, I honestly think, yeah, I've worked a ton of jobs. I started after college as a temp and stuff like that. Is that I find that there are very few people who are non-essential in any organization. If anything, I think more people need to be, this is a different rant, but I do think that more organizations need to train employees on doing multiple tasks. Not necessarily to do it, but it's so weird when you have like one person who's doing one thing, and then like that person goes on vacation or that person leaves the organization, and there's this huge vacuum that you don't know how to fill.
Yeah, I have one of those jobs where if I go on vacation, like I get calls constantly because they're like, Tony, nobody else knows how to deal with this thing. Well,
I am not there now.
yeah, y'all need to work on that.
Yeah, I try to make it a policy as much as possible to not give anybody in my office my phone number because I tell everybody when I go on vacation, I do not know you. I am not one of those people who go on vacation who checks my work emails all the time. I do not answer calls for, like I had a coworker look at my phone the other day because like my supervisor was calling when we were off site, and she saw like my supervisor has like the initials BPL on the end of her number. She's like, "What is that?" I'm like, that's the organization's Brooklyn Public Library. I put that there so I know not to answer when I don't want to.
Smart.
Yeah, I mean, because there's a lot of because if you give people an inch, they will go with it. Like I had to, I like we you know we use Slack at the office. Somebody told me you can put Slack on time out, so I will not get any messages from my office before 8:30 in the morning and after 5:30 in the afternoon.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's on my phone, but I will not. It really will not go to my phone. Like I can check it manually, but it won't push it to me. Yeah, it's a lot of things just for peace of mind because I had I long story, another rant. One of my first jobs, I worked with my sister. Family is family. My sister's a very personable person. She made friends. And then, like her friends, they were going to go out and stuff like that. So the first person she would always call to cover shifts for her friends would be me.
That's problematic.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's my sister. I'm not going to say no. But then what happened once was I covered somebody's shift, and it was supposed to cover for me in the morning. They did not show up, so I got in trouble for that.
That sucks.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm never gonna cover for people. And if I want people to call me or contact me after the hours I'm assigned, I will work overtime if you give me a heads up. But you're not gonna call me at like on vacation, like, oh, or we need, nope, not here. And I mean, it also helps that like a lot of times, like I had a coworker at this job, a lot of times people go on vacation and say, oh, I'll take a call or I can hop on the phone real quick. And they want to set up a conference call with her. She's like, I'm in France for a month. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not checking emails. I'm like, I respect that. And that's what you need to do. So, yeah, back to video games.
So, Earl's work advice.
Oh, I have terrible work advice if you ever follow me on Twitter. I mean, I have fantastic work advice, but it's terrible work ethics. I mean, honestly, I'm like one of those people. I take my lunch like every day. Like, I will literally, even if I don't have anything to do, I will get out my office for an hour.
I don't think that's not bad advice at all.
It's not, it's good. It's good for your mental health, but a lot of people don't like it because every, like, I think a lot of people just like to sit at their desk to seem like they're busy or doing something. And, you know, a lot of people stress themselves out with that stuff.
They do.
Me, it's like, I'm either gonna get it done or not gonna get it done. Like, you can scream at me tomorrow. But like most things in an office, there are gonna be stuff that's like, I need this right now, and that's fine. There's gonna be stuff that I want this done sometime soon. That will be done as well. But like, as far as my tenure working in the past 10 years, I've never really had anything that I screwed up by taking my method of like, you know, not killing myself at work 40 hours a week or whatever I work nowadays.
Whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, like today I worked until, you know, I worked an additional 2.5, 3 hours. But I actually liked that event. That was a ton of fun. But you know, it's one of those things. I took off the Monday after WrestleMania with that time because I don't get overtime, so I'm like, I'm not coming in.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that's another thing. People don't take, I hate when people say, oh, I haven't taken a vacation in like 5 years. Like, why?
You're an idiot.
There's a reason why you are stressed out.
I haven't taken a vacation in 5 years. Well, okay. I have somebody you can talk to. He's a psychiatrist and
Because I've and I ask people this, what I usually get back is one, they're afraid if they take vacation that they're going to lose their job or people are going to find out that you're not as they're not important. If that's the case, that speaks more to your job than you.
yeah, like
yeah, your job sucks. Don't have that job.
yes, and the other one, like if. Yeah, like I don't know. I'm taking vacation in June, and I tell my boss, and she's like, she doesn't like to give more than 2 weeks, which is fine. She should have told me that before I booked my vacation. Like, you know, meeting. Like, if you take vacation, take 2 weeks at a time, whatever. But yeah, I don't get people who are like, oh, I'm gonna. Or if you don't get paid out for vacation, especially, there's no reason to bank it.
Oh yeah, if they're not holding your vacation and you're not getting paid out for it, then use it.
Yeah, it drives me nuts when people are like they don't take vacation. They work, you know, they work throughout their lunch break. They work extra. They're the first person in, the last person out. I'm the first person in, and I'm the first person out. I like to get in early because I like that quiet time where I can kind of ramp up to the day, you know, check Twitter and stuff like that before people start coming in, and then I'm gone before 5. Because I got in 15 minutes early.
Hey, I mean, as long as everything's working out, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as the day my boss complains to me, I will stop. But until somebody notices, I don't care. That is a terrible work advice.
Right. Oh, so take Earl's advice at your own peril.
I mean, okay, to tie this back into the EA topic or video games in general, part of the reason I have this advice is because, especially in something like video games that we've seen time and time again, it doesn't matter how long you've worked there, it doesn't matter how senior you are, it doesn't matter how much crunch you put into it. A lot of these companies find you disposable because when they need to cut fat, they're gonna humans are always going to be the most expensive cost in any organization.
Yeah.
And it's better to cut rid of senior people because you pay them more than you would somebody fresh out of college. Somebody fresh out of college isn't burnt out yet. They don't know. They don't know.
Yeah. If
And
that, go ahead.
oh, I was going to say, and to kind of tie this into a nice bow and to kind of come full circle to another story we talked about a few weeks ago. Sega announced that Judgment is going to go through some edits when it comes to the West due to that voice actor who got busted with coke. So his character model and voice will be changed.
Well, I guess we saw that coming.
It's still so weird. I don't want to say because coke isn't a big deal, but I mean, in the grand scheme of stuff that people have done, getting busted doing coke doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Yeah, I am. It's like it seems, and it has to be a cultural thing because, to me, it's like, oh, somebody that is working in entertainment like did drugs. I am not surprised. Get them some help and move on. If they need help.
Yeah, or I mean, if they like, I have no problem letting him go or whatever, but it seems odd to like change your game for it.
Yeah, like you've already paid him
Yeah,
and done
and
the work on it.
he's already spent it on the coke. I mean, so
Yeah, he got what he needed out of it.
so.
The only person winning here is him. I guess we will hear more that 'cause that game is coming fairly soon, I guess.
I think it's what June? It's in June. It's
Yeah,
back end of June. Yes.
so we'll be interesting to see how that looks and sounds, because there are images of that character out there, because the game was on sale in Japan, so be interesting.
So yes, we said before, this is PAX weekend, so I'm hoping some other announcements come.
Yeah.
Hopefully nothing as disastrous as Gearbox. Yoshi's out tomorrow. I might pick that up.
Yeah, I like what I see of it. Those games are not super engaging, but I like the style of it.
I find them to be the opposite of From Software, Bloodborne. Like those are the games you play when you just want to kind of chill.
Yes.
The problem with that is they're not $60. I'd rather chill for like 30.
I agree. I was kind of hoping, like, when I was like, oh, that game's out tomorrow.
Exceeded my chill budget. I can't chill with you.
60 is a lot to kind of throw at a game that just like, it's not like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's like, this is fun, but it's like that reserved fun.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is this like it's a comfort game. It's a
Yeah.
game you kind of play when it's like, I don't want anything too stressful, too difficult, nothing that's going to challenge me, but I just want to kick back. And it's like a Friday night game.
Yeah. Know, like I don't got anything else going on. I'm gonna play some Yoshi. I don't know. I like the look of it. That cardboard world looks pretty cool. But I'm also like sitting here going, I could just spend $6 and get the expansion to Captain Toad. I haven't done that yet, so
Is that out?
think it came out the 15th.
Oh, okay. I will look into that because I wanted an excuse to actually rebuy that game. Because I really enjoyed it on the
Wii
Wii. Yeah, but I was like, it had like three levels, like it wasn't worth it. But now I'm like, oh yeah, DLC, I can do that.
Yeah, I think there's like 18 new levels or something with the DLC. So,
Yeah.
and it's the DLC is only $6, so that's pretty good. I think I might do that instead. It's a whole lot cheaper, $60. So, anyway, we may have Yoshi's Crafted World. Hopefully, Jeff will come back and tell us about Sekiro. or Sekiro, or however you pronounce that. That brutal game that I will never touch.
That's right. He'll tell us what it's like to die and die again.
Over again. And over again. Jeff dies all the times. Shadows die twice. Jeff dies all of the time.
More than twice. Way more than twice.
And then he gets angry at his TV. But yeah, we'll have something for next week. And there should, as Earl said, there should be some news coming out of PAX East. We're not sure what.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is I don't know what else is out there, but we got 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping something interesting comes out of that. PAX East is always a good time. And
yeah,
they have some good reveals.
I'm disappointed. I had tickets to go, which I'm going to eat the cost of. I got to be better at spending my money. I would have went, but I because I'm spending so much money next weekend, I couldn't afford to go away this weekend.
Well, WrestleMania is coming to your city, so.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Yeah. Speaking of WrestleMania, well, not WrestleMania in particular, but WWE, did you ever play that WWE All-Stars game?
I have. It's fun. I really wish they would be more kind of creative with the license usage like they were with that. Because the only games have kind of gotten very boring. And that was at least a different type of flavor. What I thought you were going to say, even though it's only the teasing part, is that there's a new wrestling organization called AEW starting soon. And they are, you know, a lot of them grew up in, or not grew up, they kind of cut their teeth in Japan. So right now it seems like they are working with Sai Sofa, the folks who used to be AKI, the folks who used to make the N64 wrestling games.
Okay.
And it looks like they might, I mean, who knows what will come of it, but it does seem like they are in the early stages of talking to them about possibly creating a video game for them.
That would be pretty cool.
Yes, that would be very exciting. I mean, it's a known brand. It's a known entity. And it's a thing that people have been asking for the return of since almost 20 years now.
Yeah, since the N64, like, I know a lot of people look back and view No Mercy and
WrestleMania 2000 and WCW NWO Revenge.
It's probably the last era of great like arcade type wrestling games. So
yeah, and I mean, even if you wanted to go something that people love, and I don't necessarily think they always draw the dot. They also made the Def Jam Fight for New York games, which are awesome.
They were well received too. So
yeah,
I will be interested to see what comes of that. I like some of the people that AEW has signed, so we'll see. We may also have Tony. We should probably play that Firestorm.
Yeah, Don was trying to get me to play tonight, so we should get on there.
Well, and Earl has that as well. So
yeah, I got to figure out where I put my disc.
So we can
Earl,
because I think it is a four man squad game mode, so we can certainly try that out.
That's good. I'm happy that people realize that battle royales are better with friends.
They are.
All those games are better with any game, really.
Oh, but Fortnite is still like the 1 versus 99 concept. But no, it's better to kind of, because it's just stress. It's still stressful. It's just frustrating when you're by yourself.
Yes. So yeah, it is nice to see that, like, you know, Apex, their version is like, it is squads only, and Battlefields is squads only. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. So we may have an update on that next week as well. But join us next week then.